Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
So what a weekend. Did you get any sleep?
I got a little sleep Saturday night. Not much. I was over Channel 9.
Yeah, I saw you waving the W flag.
We all had monitor. W flags there. In fact, I brought mine in. It's right here this morning in the Allstate Showcase studio.
Perfect.
And let's see, we were on the air from the time the game ended, which was about 9:45 until close to midnight, I think.
Yeah, I was watching some
excellent,
of your coverage from the
coverage,
monitor,
the way,
too.
They
as well.
Did a great job, Dan.
They
Dan,
did a great
everybody.
Job. Everybody at the park was great.
Listen, I don't want to start on a down note here, but let me just say, can we not have any more how do you feel questions? Everybody on television.
To the players, you mean?
How do you feel? How do you feel? Drunks in the street, how do you feel?
All right.
How do you feel? Can we ask anything other than how do you feel? Anybody?
Who are you voting for?
Exactly. How about that, though? What a nice distraction the election coverage.
Yeah, well, now you get another week of it, too.
It's actually...
So it'll only be a week to go.
Yeah, it's happy news.
Happiness. All right, roll it. Hey, Paul, how do you feel?
I got a little indigestion.
Yeah? How does the Cubs World Series affect your indigestion?
It didn't. I still have it. I wouldn't mind if I didn't
Honestly,
have it.
Could you hold like a camp or something? Something just to teach a reporter to ask any question other than how do you feel?
Right. How's your mom?
Yeah, how's your mom?
A million other
How much
things.
Money do you have in your purse?
Yep.
Guess which hand my car keys are in.
Right. This
Anything.
Is one of my favorite questions. Would you rather... spend the day walking around with lipstick on your teeth or visible panty lines?
That's a great question.
There's a lot of other things you can be asking.
How does it make you feel? It makes me feel like I'm going to be a lot richer next year because the commercial endorsements are going to be huge.
Right.
Come on.
Ask a specific question.
You go out and you cover stuff every weekend. Do you ask people how they feel?
I never ask people how they
feel. Dave, do you ask people how they feel?
Maybe what emotions
Dave doesn't
are
even ask me how I feel.
Mind.
No, how do you feel, Steve?
I don't feel that great.
Yeah.
But the Cubs win. I don't know if you heard, it was a big deal nationwide, and now everybody's jumping on the bandwagon.
Oh, yeah.
A bandwagon I've been driving since August 21st.
You remember
really?
The date
now. I think around the 15th, really, you got
it. The 15th? Yep. Yeah.
So, you're a good driver, Steve.
Would you like room on the Cubs bandwagon?
Sure, yeah.
All right, we've got a seat for you, fella.
And a nice big W flag for you.
You know, one of the most amusing things about Saturday night was Chuck Gowdy.
See Chuck. What did he do?
Chuck is the only grown-up in the room. Chuck's primary concern in covering How Do You Feel, the post-Cubs victory celebration, was kids climbing a pole outside of Wrigley.
How about that?
Kids climbing a pole, and there's no Chicago police to take them down. He was basically saying, if these kids keep running with their W flag, somebody's going to get their eye poked out. Someone's going to lose an eye.
That's a testament, though, to the fans and the Chicago Police
Where
Department.
Where was Mark Sapelsa, Chuck?
Very orderly.
And they didn't even have helmets on. Yeah.
He was next to me on the set at WGN TV.
He wasn't saving lives like Gowdy was?
Gowdy was saving lives. Gowdy was keeping people off the pole.
You saw the one guy fall backwards off the pole, right? And the crowd caught him?
Didn't see that.
No, I didn't either.
Now that would have been worth seeing.
Yeah, I think I saw it on Channel 9.
That would have been worth
was
seeing.
That Gian Greco? Did Gian Greco fall off the pole?
It was some guy.
And Sapelsa caught him.
And Sapelsa caught him.
He's been really good at catching people as they fall off the pole that Sapelsa has.
Really
made
sweet.
A career out of it.
It's a sweet, sweet story. It's very exciting. And why wouldn't it be? Cubs in the World Series for the first time since the Flintstones roamed the earth. And it's a very exciting time. And it starts in Cleveland tomorrow. Two in Cleveland, three here, and two more back in Cleveland if need.
Are you taking your show on the road to Cleveland?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to be there. We're going to be there a lot. No, of course not.
No. Why not?
I'm tired.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds the same in Chicago as it sounds in Cleveland.
Well, honestly, what are we going to do in Cleveland that we can't do here? You know? I mean, I figured this. We'll save the money for Larry Wirt's bar mitzvah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. He'll be happy about that, too.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah.
How do you feel? Happy.
I have a little indigestion. My lower back's been giving me some problems. I'm contemplating getting a new mattress. It feels like that's a waste of money because those things, you go through them every 5 years. It feels like you might as well just go sleep on the floor. I've got a nice thick carpet. I could go lay on that.
I can tell you right now, my friends at Mattress Firm can set you up. You go ahead and you mention my name at Mattress Firm. They're going to give you any mattress in the store at the price currently on the mattress.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I might try that.
Yeah. No, you call me if you need a mattress.
All right.
I got a guy.
Well, I know the one that we had you know, for years, Steve, you know, that one lasted like forever.
Well, it's not supposed to last forever. It's supposed to last for 8 years and get rid of it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you feel?
You know, I'm still having some, I feel like I might need to go to the bathroom, actually.
Well, you should do that now, right before you go to say the sports is almost over and it's almost turned time for you.
All right. I got to run.
All right, bye-bye.
I love you. Be careful out there. There's a lot of people falling off of stuff.
Yeah, W flags everywhere. Somebody's going to get hurt. It's 6:16. I'm just a little more creativity. That's all.
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah, completely agree.
Come on.
I interviewed a guy.
It's not sports. It's not news. It's sports and news.
I interviewed a guy yesterday, 96-year-old Cub fan who had been to the World Series in 32 and 45. I did not ask him how he felt.
Yeah. I just said, ban the question.
I just said, what emotions are going through your head right now?
How about this question?
That's close.
There's a way
that's close.
There's a way to dance around that.
How about this one? What went through your mind the moment that the final out was?
Such a cliche. Stop it.
You know, I had a good question,
though. What went through my mind? That you would ask me the same stupid question that you asked everybody else.
No, I said to him, okay, I'll ask you this. So if Joe Madden calls you today, Cochran, Madden, what advice can I give the team tonight? What would you say to him? What should I say to the
Joe
team?
Joe Madden's asking me?
Yeah.
I would say everything you've said between now and go backwards to when you open spring training. Just say any of those things and you're going to be fine.
That's a hypothetical, not that Joe Madden's going to call you.
Well, how do you know he's not? Maybe he will.
Might text.
Might call and ask me how I feel.
How do you
617. Mary, how do you feel?
Ecstatic.
Mary, what went through your mind right before I asked how you felt?
I don't know. I needed another glass of wine.
We don't suck anymore. We don't suck anymore. We don't suck anymore like we used to do. We don't lose anymore. What was all of that for? We don't suck anymore like we used
to
do. Finally, we found the ones we've been looking for.
This is entry number 647 of Cubs parody songs. They're being pumped out now faster than anything you've ever seen. Any of them that are good enough, we'll play. This is pretty good. Crank it up again.
Leave us alone. You might be crazy, but you've changed the game. And we can't get you out of our brains. So all my Cubs fans say, we don't suck anymore.
6:23.
We don't suck anymore.
Mark Carman standing by.
We don't suck anymore.
On his way to Cleveland. Are you there yet?
I am. I'm not going for 1 and 2, Steve. There's a chance I'll be there for 6 and 7. But that's a great tune. I actually.
Wait, hold on. Wait. Back the train up here a second.
Okay.
You're not going to Cleveland?
Hold on.
We're sending an 11-year-old Violetta to Cleveland on her own, but we're not sending you?
You'd have to take that up with upper management, Steve. I don't make these decisions. I would love to.
I spend my entire day trying to avoid meetings, personally and
not
professionally.
Today you're going to be in all day.
I don't know. Listen, this Violetta kid, she's a nice kid, but I don't think we should turn her loose in Cleveland on her own. Somebody could get hurt, and I mean the people of Cleveland.
Well, they were very nice when I was there for the convention, but...
Kevin will be there, but Kevin is there as a professional baseball analyst. And reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Kevin and Violetta are going together, those two?
Well, no, they'll be there.
This
Oh, maybe that's the whole. Maybe that's the reason.
You guys aren't really thinking about this.
Well, we can
what the heck, this. Man? Is everyone on Roe Show going?
Yeah.
Set this separately. Yeah. Why isn't Roe?
Why isn't Dave going?
Dave's not
on Roe Show.
Dave's an important
Dave's
part of this
show.
Operation. Yeah. Mark, how do you feel?
By the way, the song that you just played with the Moise Alou comment, he tweeted on Saturday night. Finally, no more what if, no more would you # Off the hook.
Oh, Moises is off the hook.
That's what he tweeted.
He's probably off the chain, Moises. Even that's out of
How about the fact that the whole stadium just laughed when there was a foul ball going down the left field line late in the game? That's so 2003. I mean, this is a whole new thing here, Steve. People are just laughing at foul balls.
Yeah, I tweeted. I tweeted out a new blog, and it's this very simple blog. It's just why I want the Cubs to win. And one of the reasons is this is freedom for Bartman. This is Steve Bartman's freedom. Win the World Series. I mean, technically, there's got to be some relief in the Bartman house or the Bartman head after what happened this weekend. But somehow this seems freeing if Bartman can get what he wants, what I assume he still wants, what we all want, and that's a Cubs win. Don't you think they should win for the Bartman?
Sure, why not? Absolutely. That's a.
Why don't you care about Bartman? Why are you? Why Bartman? Bartman. This none of this is Bartman's fault.
Okay. See, it's not, and that's true. But there's so many people to win for above Steve Bartman. Like, you know, you've been talking about Santo and Ernie, Steve, and there's just a lot of people, blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, Kerry Wood. I talked to him on Saturday night. How about winning it for Woody? He was on the mound in Game 7 of 0-3.
Bartman.
No.
No. No.
All for Bartman, huh?
Yeah, Bartman. Bartman and Santo would back me up on that if he were here. As a matter of fact, I'm expecting Santo to butt dial me from heaven any minute now.
I'm enjoying your perspective on this, I think, more than anyone else's. You've spun it a million different ways. So.
Well, it's nice of you to say, but my number one concern is my own head exploding if I hear one more television reporter on the street ask a drunk how they feel. I just come up with any measure of creativity that's not that question or what was going through your mind right before you threw up after the last Mai Tai. I don't care what you're doing. Just, you know, you have a television camera in front of you and a microphone. Work a little bit.
How about talk to me?
How about anything? What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
So lame.
I mean, I walked through the stands with my phone, Stephen, after the seventh inning stretch, and I was asking people, what two words are you thinking of? Is that better?
No.
You know, I was trying to get that World Series.
No, it's a cliched, lame hook. No.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a reason why, you know, you're the morning show host. And
no, don't kiss up to me. No, don't kiss up to me. Just work harder. All right. So just to be clear now, we're going to win this for Santo and Ernie, of course. We're going to win this for Billy and all the Cubs that never got there. We're going to win this for every Cub fan, every grandfather, every grandmother, everybody that took you to your first game, your own kids, you, all of you. But we're also going to win it for the Bartman. Free Steve Bartman.
That's great. You know, can I?
Dave's like going to be like, I'm drunk.
Well, I mean,
Dave, you're right.
You're right. I am.
Hey, you don't want to win it for one person.
What? No, it's everybody.
There are plenty of people to win it for. And I read your blog,
and I think it's great.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. But why do you hate Bartman, Dave?
I don't. I think that his name shouldn't even be mentioned because the guy should be allowed to have his name removed from anything associated with
it. This is freeing for everybody that blames.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
This is freeing. Lift him up. Lift up Bartman. Carry him around the city. You should throw out the first. Charlie Sheen throw out the first pitch in Cleveland, supposedly for one of these games.
Oh yeah, because I don't think he's.
I don't think he's going to.
Oh, it's not happening.
I don't think so.
Okay, what are you hearing, Carmen? Since you're on the ground in Chicago.
Yeah, denied. Sheen denied. They will not be going all major league. I think Charlie's had some issues, perhaps off the field, that might negate. Yeah, I don't think he's been not a choir boy, Steve.
I hadn't heard. All right, so just to be clear, by way of priorities here at the tower, Violetta's going to Cleveland. You're not.
That's correct.
Right. You're going to be in meetings today and tomorrow.
Somebody missed a meeting.
Yeah.
So,
me too.
At 6:28, Mark, what are we looking for in this series? Because Cleveland, nobody knows this team in Chicago. Everybody's focused on the National League. Everybody's focused on the Cubs. Give me the best bat in the Cleveland lineup.
That's probably Jason Kipnis, also Mike Napoli, 34 homers, 101 RBIs. He plays first base. You're making a good point here, Steve. I don't think anybody in Chicago knows any Indian. Roberto Perez is their catcher. Francisco Lindor is an interesting shortstop. He's also 22 years old, just like Addison Russell, hit 300. Here's one thing to know about the Indians. They run the bases really well. They like to steal bases. They take extra bases. They're going to try to run all over John Lester on Tuesday night. Terry Francona is a very aggressive manager.
And Francona, of course, is a World Series winner. What about the pitching? The pitching's great, right? The Indians pitching?
Well, I mean, Corey Kluber at the front's a monster, and Andrew Miller at the back is a monster. So outside of that, you got to like the Cubs' chances. But they do have, the front line number one, and they also have a guy in the bullpen who's, unlike Aroldis Chapman, who, by the way, the Cubs tried to get Andrew Miller, also from the Yankees. This guy, as most baseball fans know, this guy can come in the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth. I mean, he's much more flexible, versatile, high leverage situation. He'll be coming in and he'll go multiple innings. So you're going to see him a lot. Also, the Indians are very right-handed, which will help some of the Cubs lefties, but it's not great necessarily for Chris Bryant, who does hit lefties better. Not that he can't hit righties. He's Chris Bryant. He's God. But
okay, careful.
You know, that's a little bit much. That was a little much. That's a little much. But
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it is. Trust me.
He's been in the big leagues for 2 years. He's won 200 games, and the Cubs are in the World Series, and he's going to win the MVP. I mean, that's pretty good, Steve. Let's give the guy some credit.
Yeah, it's here. Not bad. Yeah, it makes me feel really good. All right, so early prediction subject to change on a game-by-game basis. Cubs in how many?
Right now, Steve, I feel the Cubs in five.
Five, Dave.
I'm going Cubs in six.
Vanderbilt.
Cubs in five.
Darlis.
Cubs in six.
Production booth.
Cubs in four.
Yes, Bennett. Oh, poor Bennett.
Right?
On the don't care.
Steve.
Sandberg.
She says four as well.
All right. Carmen?
I already said five, but I think I've already changed it to Indians in seven.
What? Carmi.
I'm going Cubs in three. That's just how good they are.
Right.
Yeah. I want to change mine. I want to go Cubs in five.
Five?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I feel
better about this series than I did about the Dodger series, even though
you think this is anticlimactic after getting the World Series?
No, I don't think it's anticlimactic.
There's your text question of the day. Here's your text question of the day. If the Cubs don't win the World Series, has this season been a waste and a disappointment to you?
Ooh, that's a tough question.
How much do you
want? Wait, aren't you actually asking people then how they feel?
No. No, because you
emotionally,
notice.
Yes.
No, because you notice I asked an actual question.
Yes, you did.
If the Cubs don't get this done, how disappointed are you? Is this season a waste?
Okay. That's tough.
Extremely disappointed.
All right, I got to let you go. Violetta's on the phone.
Woke up after midnight. Both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
Sing along, kids. You know the words.
And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh. Pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Good morning, live in studio to Dr. Kevin Most. How are you, buddy?
Morning. How are you doing?
Doing fine. You were in North Carolina over the weekend?
I was, down in Pinehurst.
Have they finally dried out?
They have.
Good.
It's amazing down there. A lot of trees down, but they're doing fine.
They got blasted pretty hard, though.
They did.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. It's flu shot day.
Today's flu shot day, yep.
Yes.
All right, and let's just get this out of the way right away. Andrea is a tad needle phobic.
No kidding.
Ross actually left the show because of you. but Andrea is a little bit needle phobic, but she was very strong last year. Did she get the shot? Did she get the mist?
No, she got the shot.
Got the shot last year, and you did great.
I did okay.
Yeah, you did great.
She took a week off of work, I think, after that.
That'll happen.
She's so nervous.
Yeah.
But I did ask him, I said, I know I sound like a crazy person, but I know other people have these questions and concerns as well, right, about some people think you might get the flu. I don't, but some people think you might get the flu from getting the shot, or last week I had a little bit of a cold, and would that conflict with getting the flu shot?
The thing about this flu shot
questions,
now,
right?
This flu shot thing now has turned into people that believe Trump when he says the election's rigged, because I don't know how many times doctors who have gone to medical school can say this, but even though you feel a little funky from your shot, and some may, even though your arm might be a little bit sore, and you may have that, it is not possible to get the flu from the flu shot.
Impossible. You cannot get the flu. And you know what? Your arm's going to be a little sore. The vast majority of people, that's the biggest side effect. They don't even get that achy feeling. They don't get anything. They get my arm's sore. It's going to be sore for a day.
Right. And the reason you can't get the flu is?
The virus is dead.
Right.
What we have in the vaccine is just small portions of a virus so that the immune system recognizes that as being foreign. It builds up a response to it. It can't replicate. It cannot go on and form more viruses. It's dead. There's nothing it can do about it.
Yeah, you're fooling your immune system into building up the army to block the flu if you're ever exposed.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate for Ross because, you know, this year FluMist is not out there. So this year he's going to have to get a shot and hopefully he's listening and understands that because little Abigail Grace must be protected as well.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to him. It's not like he's not returning my calls.
Yeah.
He's not returning
your calls.
He's
not mine. He wants to know where I am.
All right. So let's go through some of the basic questions here. One is what age range of people should get the shot?
Yep. So 6 months on, everybody above the age of 6 months should get the shot. The important thing really is in the seniors and those in immunocompromised, some with diabetes, any other immune disorders, in the seniors, because those are the individuals that have the highest chance of having a really bad reaction and getting, a bad illness and ending up in the hospital. You know, we do about 200,000 hospitalizations due to this, and about 20,000 people die from influenza every year. So it's important that the seniors get the shots.
All right, what about pregnancy issues?
Absolutely. If you're pregnant, you should definitely get it for two reasons. Good chance that you're going to deliver during the flu season if you're pregnant right now, and you want to protect yourself from getting influenza because your newborn will not be able to get that vaccine. So that's the really important thing for anybody with newborns. Surround yourself with people who have been vaccinated because you do not want that child to get ill.
And again, 6 months or older?
6 months or older.
Okay. What else am I missing in the basic questions?
Well, you know, I think one interesting thing that came out this year is that seniors, when we look at when they get their vaccine, we used to talk about when are you going to get your vaccine? Well, let's make sure you get it in October. Make sure you get it weeks before Thanksgiving. And now it's gotten down to a study that came out of Birmingham, England, just recently that showed that the timing of the day is very important for seniors. They should get the vaccine somewhere between 9 in the morning and 11 in the morning.
Why is that?
We know that cortisol levels are the highest that they get through the day about a couple hours after you wake up. Cortisol is needed for your immune response. As the day wanes, your cortisol drops off. And they show.
So it's most effective when the cortisol is at its peak.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep.
It's kind of cool,
it's
right?
Fascinating, actually. Yeah.
Can I still get mine earlier?
Oh, Dave, we just like that you're active. At your age, Dave, we just like that you're active.
Dave, how many hours have you been up?
I've been up for about four.
Perfect.
Yeah. Your so cortisol right now is smoking.
Yes, I can tell.
What if somebody's already had the flu? Can you still get the flu shot?
Yes, you can, because there's more than one virus, more than one strain that affects us all. So like today, the vaccine you're going to get is going to protect you from four different strains. So you might have had one of the strains, you know, like an influenza A, but now I'm going to protect you from two other influenza A's and influenza B. So you're going to get broader protection because you can get the flu more than once in a season.
When you say you mean all of everybody,
all of us,
right?
Yes.
Not just me.
And so we know, the manufacturer of the flu vaccine on a year-to-year basis, it's not a crapshoot, but it is an educated guess as to what the broadest strain will be, right?
Correct.
How do we do this year in regards to what we know right now?
We don't know anything right now.
We don't know enough yet.
We don't know enough. Yep.
Okay.
We'll start to know more as the year goes on. Looks like Mary has a question. Yes.
If we get the shot from you today and then I get the flu, am I going to be allowed to complain to you later?
Yes. When you say you, did you look at Steve when you said that, or are you looking at me?
The collective you.
Actually, if you complain to me, I'll just forward your complaint to Kevin, and then he'll return a phone call to Ross.
But Mary does make a good point. You know, it's not that you get the vaccine. It's not 100%. So some people don't get a good immune response. We might have a different strain. So there are reasons that you can get the flu shot, and it still may not work.
I got a quick question.
I've had the flu shot for, I don't know, how long have we been doing this? 5 years? Longer?
More than that, yeah.
10 years? Well, other than when I was fired and I left.
Yeah.
But I've never even had an issue. And it's kind of fun not to get the flu. I would certainly endorse not getting the flu.
You know, anybody who's had true influenza, where you have 10 days of high fevers, body aches, you feel miserable. I'm telling you, a little needle in the arm, I'll take it any time over even one day of influenza.
I think that's important to point out, too, because I had the flu last year, but I did not know I had the flu because I always associate the flu with
nausea,
vomiting. And it was the achy fever thing. That wasn't that fun. And I did not get a flu shot, so.
All right, yeah. So we'll come back and go over some of these questions that people are texting in and start with the injections. I'm trying to get my shirt over my bicep now. It's a problem. You know how many shirts I've broken?
Steve, stop flexing. Stop flexing.
You going here? Okay.
Oh, that's just, is that just the natural muscle of your arm?
That's unbelievable.
Wow. Hey, are those guns registered? It's Illinois.
Did you get the extra strong needle?
There's different kinds of needles?
Sure.
What?
Yep, bigger ones for you, Andrea.
What?
It's a joke. He just gave me the injection while I was talking to you. It's going to be just fine. I promise.
I think a little fun twist is if Doc Most let Coaches Bennett into giving him Andrea's.
No.
Fun twist.
I approve.
A fun twist.
None of this is fun.
She can practice on an apple.
I don't think a fun twist is amateur medicine.
I'll do it with my eyes closed, too. Oh, that would be even crazier.
No. Dave will be next. Let me run through a couple more of these questions, Doc, with you. These are people texting in now. What time of day did you say is best to get the flu shot again for folks?
Between 9 and 11 for seniors. Really, between 9 and 11 for anybody because it's the cortisol level that's the highest at that time. So that's the best.
It's not between 9 and 11.
It's 2 hours after you woke up.
It's really more 2 hours after you woke up. Yep.
Texter says, I got the flu shot, but I have had a cold for 10 days. I'm wondering if it could actually now be the flu. Is it just a milder case since I got the shot? Does it work that way at all?
I mean, it potentially could be. You know, you can't really tell right now because we haven't had a lot of influenza activity.
Yeah.
But some people that get it, even if you get one of the strains that's not in it, the vaccine's going to at least minimize the infection, so you aren't going to get as bad. You might just have just a basic cold.
Do all doctors administer the same type of vaccine?
Pretty much. There's a trivalent and a quadrivalent, meaning that some of the vaccines only cover you for 3 strains, some cover you for 4. And then there's some that are stronger for seniors. So we have an adult dose, essentially, or senior booster dose.
Do some flu shots have a booster shot for seniors? That leads into that.
Yep, absolutely. There is a higher dose for seniors, so it's a little bit stronger to make sure, because their immune response isn't as good as we age.
How often should somebody get a pneumonia shot?
So there's a few pneumonia shots, and some of them you're only going to need once. But talk with your doctor, because there are 2 or 3 different ones that are going to cover you for more and more strains of pneumonia. Pneumonia being a bacterial infection versus a virus, so you get much better coverage, and it's not one that you have to get every year. It's one that you're going to get, and then you'll probably will be looking at, are we going to need to have a booster of that at 10 years or 15
Recommended years? For everybody, pneumonia shot?
Actually, anybody over the age of 55, I would say. You know, okay. That's when pneumonia can get to be a little bit more serious.
I'll give you yours, you give me mine.
Exactly.
Is that
yeah.
Can you get the pneumonia shot and the flu shot at the same time?
Oh,
sorry, she couldn't hear you. Can you get the pneumonia shot and the flu shot at the same time?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
My daughter's breastfeeding her 1 month old. If she gets the flu shot, will the baby be protected through the breast milk?
No, you know, the baby's...
But the baby's only a month old.
A month old. The baby is going to get some immunity, and it's a great thing about breastfeeding, is that's how the baby gets some of its immunity early on in life, but it's not going to get really any additional immunity from the flu vaccine.
If your immune system is compromised due to a past cancer event, does the flu shot work then?
Absolutely, it works, and it's very important that you do get it because your immune system may not be as well. Your white blood cells might not be as functional, so we certainly want to make sure that we immunize them.
And damn you and John DeCoste, I sing Dr. Most's song even when it's not on. Pink stuff in my eye and I need you now. Yeah, that's literally what they texted.
Lady
Dave?
Bellum again.
Yes?
I thought you were waving at me. I'm sorry.
No.
I got an email from a concerned listener wanting to know that they didn't have breakfast yet, so they probably shouldn't get the flu shot, right?
No, you really don't have to eat before.
From a listener.
Yeah.
Andrea.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten breakfast.
All right, Samara, you're going to come down and get yours?
Yes.
All right. Andrea will get hers. How about Andrea? Andrea.
No, we're
come on, you can do it.
I'll help hold her hand. I got to hold someone's
somebody going to help me out here? Is anyone else on the air? Does anyone else have a microphone? Trying
hey,
to support
hold
you.
Your hand. Yeah. I had to hold someone's hand.
I'll help her.
Good thing the doctor
7 o'clock. Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact every day. I'll be around here for a few more minutes in case anyone wants to come by and get checked for a hernia. 7:12. Dr. Kevin Most has administered flu shots to the staff. Now we've all survived. We're all alive. A couple guys from the newsroom coming down. And
no, they're wimping out.
Oh, they're wimping out now.
Yep.
Okay, great. All right.
Oh, here he comes.
Get flu shots.
Excuse me?
I don't get flu shots.
And why is that?
I've never had the flu, believe it or not.
Oh, well, what? This would be a good year to start.
You've been sick for the last
month. You're sick all the time.
I haven't had the flu. It's not the flu.
What do you think that was, a strain?
The doc probably will tell you. The flu's different from having, like, a cough, right?
The flu is
yes, the
lot
flu is different than a cough. Yes, that is true. Doc would tell you.
But you don't want to get sick again.
I've never had the flu. My doctor says no reason to get a flu vaccine.
You never heard that from a doctor. God. You absolutely doctor. Never heard that from
Who
a doctor.
Who the heck is your doctor?
You are making that up. Which doctor did you go to? Dr. Zhivago?
Dr. Doolittle.
Dr. Strange.
You're always sick. You're always sniffly. You're always. Why wouldn't you? Oh, okay.
Doc, I've never had the flu, right?
I want to quarantine Grzanich right now.
Yeah.
I want to put him. I want to put him in a bubble. Do the news in a bubble.
Yeah.
Tell Vic Vaughn. And who else is up there?
Ryan already had one.
And Ryan's already had his.
For as scared as I am to get it, I've had one the last 2 years. I always break Steve's hand when I get the shot because I hold his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Mary, too, for letting me hold your hand as well.
You're welcome.
I have, knock on wood, not gotten the flu since I've gotten the flu shot.
And it didn't hurt, did it?
It was fine. I made a much bigger deal out of it than it needed to be made of.
It doesn't hurt at all. You know, and we should say,
especially when Doc does.
We should say this is your first day.
Yeah,
right.
I watched the YouTube on the way down.
Am I a freak of nature that I've never actually had the flu? I mean,
yes, you're a freak of nature, but I don't know what that has to do with this. You're very lucky. You're very, very lucky. But I don't know why you'd want to continue to roll the dice when you got a flu shot sitting right here in the studio. But it's probably that doctor that told you that you're fine.
I don't know.
Even as a child, you never had the flu?
No, my mom says I never had the flu. No.
Okay. Well, I like your mom. It's you. I'm watching, mister. Watching you.
Now that I'm here, though, this place is a cesspool. I'll probably get sick every week.
Yeah, see, get it.
Somebody asked about the shingles vaccine. Is that something that people should have in a particular age range?
Yeah, you know, shingles, again, as you age, you're going to have a higher chance for it. We all probably have the chickenpox virus still living in our body. So when you get an immune response that... or you get sick or your body gets run down, then the virus has a chance to pop back out and it will follow a certain nerve and you get this very painful thing called shingles. I think Dave has had shingles.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Miserable, right?
Yeah.
It was awful. It was many years ago.
Yep.
Can I just say, I know a 30-year-old that just had shingles.
Yeah,
so,
I was probably in my 30s when I had it.
What if you haven't had chicken pox?
My brother David had shingles and he's, 40?
Yeah, if you haven't had chicken pox?
Well, most people say I haven't had chicken pox when, in fact, they probably had it and didn't even know they had it.
Because they didn't have the big breakout?
Correct.
Okay.
So the virus is pretty much everywhere.
Can I get the shingle shot, like, right now? I mean, soon after I got the flu shot?
Or oh, yeah. No? Yep, absolutely you can. Yep.
Now, I'm told it's expensive. Is that true?
You know, some insurances, vast majority of insurances should pay for it, but I don't know what the exact cost of it is.
Okay.
But it should be covered by insurance.
Yeah, and if it's not, and people want it and can't, you know, I assume there's programs that help you get it done.
Yep, and you know, we talk about influenza being miserable. Shingles is really miserable. I mean, it is very painful. Depending on where you have it, it can be dangerous. You can get it into your eye.
Yeah, my father was not a man of many words, as most dads are from our generation. We're the same. He got shingles, and I just remember how miserable he was. And he looked at me and he went, "You don't want this."
Yeah. It is very painful. And even when the rash goes away, the pain can still stay there. And that makes it even worse.
Who shouldn't have it?
Scalp, too.
Who shouldn't have shingles shot?
Shingles shot.
You know, anyone under the age of, say, 55, 50 is fine. Again, it's one of those where we're trying to protect the seniors because their immune response isn't as great. Ours can still keep it in check. So we keep that virus in check. But once it has a chance to pop out and run, it's going to do it.
That's fantastic. So this is the only thing I have on Dave Ennett. I don't need a shingle shot yet.
Correct. You're fine still.
Okay. It's fantastic.
Feel better?
Dave, it's the only thing I have. It's all I have. Did we miss anything in regards to the flu shot that we ought to be discussing? We want to knock down these biases against people doing it, you know, unless they're all going to Steve Grzanich's fake doctor.
Yeah.
You know, because we want people to get this. It's for the good of all of us.
It is. You know, it's something called herd immunity as well. You know, the more people that are vaccinated, the slower that the chances that the virus is going to spread. And we keep a really close eye on it. I mean, we monitor for flu, and actually it's kind of fascinating. Go on to Google flu, and they'll tell you where the flu is before the CDC hits because they put together a program that watched how people Googled for fever control, for flu information, and they saw spikes where it hit prior to it. So,
it's like a hot zone.
We know it's coming. It's a good time to get it right now because with all the travel at Thanksgiving, you want to make sure you're prepared by Thanksgiving. Airports are jammed. You're going to see people. That's the chance of it spreading, although we classically here in Chicago will see it after the first of the year. 2 weeks from the vaccine, so you guys got vaccinated today, your immune system will be up and ready in 2 weeks for this.
Yeah, and that's an important thing, too, because you can get the shot throughout this fall, but the longer you wait, the more people you're going to be exposed to, and you have that two-week window that you have to live through.
Correct. And if you get, if you say, oh, my gosh, my wife, my spouse, my significant other, whoever, or someone at work has the flu, I'm going to go get the shot. Well, you don't get immediate protection.
Right.
And when you have influenza, and this is a good one for you, Steve, when you have influenza, 2 to 3 days before, you're still contagious and you don't even know you have influenza yet. So you're spewing virus and not even knowing you're
infected. Oh, you probably don't know the Sandberg's theory on infectious disease, where once she feels better, nobody else can get it.
Correct. I read her chapter last night, and I'm still trying to read some of it.
Hey, it's a good thing our immune system will be up and ready to go in 2 weeks, because you know what's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
2 weeks from tomorrow would be Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about the Trump virus? Is there an injection for the Trump virus?
We're working on a vaccine right now. Okay. Whoever makes it is going to make $1 million.
You should get a flu shot every year. How often should you get a shingle shot? Another text or question.
No, again, a shingle shot is going to be once and done.
Oh, once and done. Okay.
Yep. The flu shot, though, is every year because the virus mutates and changes, and we have different viruses that can will affect us.
I have a question about that.
Yes.
How do you know that the vaccine that you're giving now is going to be for those strains?
Yeah, it's a great question. So what we do is we start tracking. We even look in the southern hemisphere, and we track what the prevalence was last year during the flu season. And then a bunch of scientists get in a room and decide on what the chances are for the top three or four, depending on what they do, which vaccine they make, for the highest chance of it happening. That being said, viruses mutate. They can change. And when they do, unfortunately, you can miss completely. But for the vast majority of the time, we do pretty well. About 3 or 4 years ago, we missed it completely. But besides that, they're doing pretty well.
It's Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. Thanks for saving us from us.
Oh, you're welcome.
And what's the message? Just get out there and get your flu shot.
Get your flu shot. You can get them almost anywhere. You can get them at CVS. You can get them at Walgreens. All Northwestern facilities have them. So, yep.
So get it done.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the shot.
You're welcome.
Andrea.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Most.
You can look at him.
Thank you.
He won't hurt you.
Thank you, Dr. Most.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo! Ow!
Love that money.
$7.25 now. The Steve Cochran Show continues, and our friend Elise Glink is here. There was a major business merger that was announced late last week. Well, we know it's been coming for a while, but it was announced, and now it'll go into the regulatory phase, and we'll see if it gets to where it needs to get, and that would be to the finish line, and that's AT&T and Time Warner. Elise Glink joins us now. Did Lily, the AT&T phone store girl, did she negotiate this?
She did, actually, and she's the one who's making out like a bandit.
I'll bet. And why not? She's terrific.
She's nice. She's fun. She's friendly.
Yeah, she's a fun girl, and she tries to help people with their phones. I mean, why not make her the point person in this?
You know, if all phone companies had somebody like her in real life to make you feel better about your phone, it would be great.
$85 billion is the valuation of this merger. Who's going to be in charge of whom?
Yeah, it's hard to know, but I think it's going to be AT&T. So what we're looking at is distribution and content. If you look at a very, very high level and you think about Time Warner, which had a failed merger in a big way with AOL, they were trying to do content and distribution, the distribution being on the Internet. Now we have AT&T that wants to buy Time Warner. And get when they say content, what they mean is all of the video and the TV shows and the cool stuff that you're seeing, they want to bring it through their distribution channels, and that's what's making everybody so nervous.
I would argue that the AOL Time Warner merger was not a bad idea. It was just too far ahead of its time and handled poorly at the time in certain quarters.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, you know, AOL at the time was trading at some ridiculous valuation, as all Internet companies that weren't making any money were. And I think this was an idea, again, you're right, ahead of its time.
Yeah, because back then we were going, content? What's that?
So, it used to be called video and articles.
The scary thing about this is I keep hearing, I think it's the boss of AT&T, who seems to be a forward-thinking guy, but I keep hearing him say, we want you to be able to take that TV program you're watching in your house and take it into your car and take it with you wherever you go. Isn't there enough not looking at other human beings and what's around you now? I mean,
aren't we already doing that, though? I mean, if you think about your phone and the content that you get on it, I can already get AOL on my, you know, not just AOL. I can already get, like, HBO on my phone.
Yeah.
And my son gets ESPN on his phone. And so I'm kind of wondering where they think this is actually going and how they think it's going to get there. So the big concern, of course, is that HBO will only be available on AT&T phones and not if you've got a Google phone. And so regulators are going to be looking at, well, what do you exactly do you expect to achieve by this? And why is this going to reshape the landscape if it doesn't mean shutting off opportunities for distribution to some of these other places?
Well, what's the fine line? And maybe I'm getting too deep in the weeds here, but what's the fine line between a monopoly and a company that takes the risk of a merger, especially one this size, and does it to the best of their business ability? In other words, shouldn't AT&T be able to keep us to AT&T phones?
You know, it's really interesting. I guess nobody is going to know until the regulators dig in to what I'm sure is like a taller stack of papers than the Affordable Health Care. And try and figure out exactly what they think is going to happen and what the, you know, the proposed thing is. You know, for AT&T, I think there's a lot of, for those of us who are old enough to remember Ma Bell, right? There was a, you know, this echoes like the Ma Bell of the 21st or maybe even 22nd century, like the power grab of all the different little pieces, and I'm going to put it all together, and then I'm going to start charging you, you know, $80 a minute to call Florida.
Right,
that's
right,
what we think about. And that's not really where it is today. It'll be interesting to see if AT&T is really just trying to compete with something called Netflix.
Correct. It wasn't you that told me originally the Netflix story. The Netflix guy tried to get a job at Blockbuster, and they were rude to him, so he went out and vetted Netflix.
I don't know if I'm the one who told you that story, but I believe it's true.
Yeah, so be careful who you're mean to.
This is the Hollywood lesson from the very, very beginning, right?
That's exactly right. A couple more of these. TD Ameritrade's going to buy Scottrade?
Yeah, it looks like there's a $4 billion merger next to AT&T. Of course, that seems like 5%
preschool,
fractional. But, TD Ameritrade, which is Canadian, Toronto Dominion, is looking that it will make this $4 billion offer for Scottrade. They've been buying up different chunks and pieces. We also saw Rockwell Collins. It's a name that we don't hear a lot, but they are looking to buy aircraft interior maker BE Aerospace for $62 a share, which works out to something like $6 billion. And they're basically aircraft component manufacturers. But that also got announced this weekend. And then also, Alaska Air is still completing its merger of Virgin Airlines, which is $2.6 billion. And it really, you have to start to wonder why everybody's buying everybody up this time.
Yeah, is it the 90s right all over again?
It could be. I think it has to do with the fact that the stock market isn't moving very much, and people are looking into next year and going, how am I going to boost the stock price so I get my big fat bonus?
I have to say, in the 90s, my knees didn't hurt as much, so maybe it wouldn't be so bad. I don't know that that's a beneficial thing in regards to these mergers, but if that's a ancillary benefit, why wouldn't I take it? The AT&T merger being the big news, but all of these have some sort of consumer impact. Is it generally a year, or is it less time than that it takes to run through these?
There's some companies in Chicago that are being bought by Accenture that are closing in like 6 to 8 weeks. It just depends how quickly the acquiring companies have got the acquisition stuff down. There's a lot of details, but I don't think the AT&T thing will happen until well into 2017, if, you know, not even later.
Okay.
Too much regulatory stuff.
Elise Glink, where do we read you and get your stuff?
ThinkGlink.com.
All right. Thanks for that. It's Elise Glink on a Monday, and informational and important and all of that. 7:31, if you're still liquored up and covered with champagne because the Cubs are in the World Series, much more to come on that story throughout the program. And in just a few minutes, we will talk to Kevin Powell, who I believe is on his way to Cleveland right now.
Is he on the road?
He is on the road.
What can we expect in the last 2 weeks of the campaign? No Hamp today because the Bears played last Thursday, but Hamp will be back later in the week to preview the Bears. Hamp's going to preview the Bears' next loss, I believe, on Friday. 7:44. How's that Trump revolution going now? There's that question still when it comes to rally size. Does size matter? It's a question that's plagued us forever. We're going to talk to somebody about the last 2 weeks of the campaign here in just a second. Before we get to that, text question of the day again is the World Series enough? Not winning the World Series. Is the World Series enough? Simple answer. You can text your answer in 312-981-7200. Would you be okay if the Cubs don't close the deal?
No.
Okay, it's a no for you, Dave.
I would be okay. I mean, I wouldn't be happy about it, but I'd be okay with it. I mean, they've had an unbelievable year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they've come too far.
Yeah, I think you got to win.
You got to do it.
I think you got to win. You got to win or it's a disappointment.
Well, yeah. I mean, the series would be disappointing. I don't think the season becomes disappointing just like
Dave,
that.
That's where we've checked with our people, and you're apparently wrong.
I guess I am.
312-981-7200 is the number. Text in your answer, whether you agree with Mr. Annett or Andrea. Whatever I want to throw in on this. And again, if you don't have an opinion, make something up. Good God, people, work a little harder than the television reporting that's going on in town this weekend. How do you feel about winning? What were you thinking when the last double play happened to the people with the baseball?
It wasn't that bad. Well,
unbelievable. 7:45. Let's try to get this ship back in its proper position, and then we'll pick up the phone here and talk to Matt Strebb from NIU. Mary, traffic, please.
And we have some heavy delays out there, especially in the inbound Eisenhower. Hour 10 now from 53, 46 for Mannheim. Hour 10 outbound as well. Inbound Stevenson's up to 45 minutes from the tri-state. Inbound Ryan not too bad at 22, 32 outbound Edens with a stall at Dempster in the center lane and an hour trip on the Kennedy in both directions. Also an accident 355 southbound. It's past North Avenue. Right lane is black, causing backups in both directions. And traffic sponsored by Presence Health. At Presence Health, compassion is their mission. Experience how one of the largest healthcare providers in Illinois treats people differently with care and compassion. This is how healthcare should be. This is Presence. Make an appointment with the Presence Health doctor today at presencehealth.org. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Matt Strebb is an associate professor and chair of NIU's Department of Political Science. Specializes in things like presidential elections and conventions. So if anybody knows what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks, it's Matt. Do you have a crystal ball, Matt, or is this based on what you've seen through the years?
You know, Steve, I think this has been such a different election in so many ways that, you know, it's tough to predict anything. But, yeah, I mean, if you look at kind of what's going on from a polling standpoint, you know, people question whether polling is accurate, and in some cases it's not. But what you look for polling is, are you finding consistent results? And it's not just consistent results in a national poll. I mean, one of the advantages of the Electoral College is that the states, the presidential election is decided by the states. And so you're having a ton of state polls. And yeah, right now, you know, we're a little over a week out. You got a ways to go still, but you know, there's voting being done in most states, and it's starting to, you know, crystallize a little bit in terms of what the outcome of the election looks like.
Yeah, and the thing is, the early voting is significant because if we believe the trends, not necessarily polls, but what we hear is anecdotal evidence of women and their mm-hmm. response to Trump's behavior in states where early voting has gone on. It's not hard to make the common sense logical tie that they could be early voting for Hillary Clinton.
Very true. And, you know, but I will say some of the data has shown the Democratic turnout hasn't been up as high as perhaps Democrats are hoping for. Here's the thing, though. The Electoral College is really working in her favor right now. You know, I'll go ahead and I'm going to give Donald Trump Florida, North Carolina, Ohio. I'm feeling generous this morning. I'll even throw in Nevada and Iowa and Maine's second district. And if he wins every one of those states, he still loses the election. Unless he can flip and win all those states and flip New Hampshire or Pennsylvania, he can't get an Electoral College victory. And so, you know, the electoral mass is really stacked against him at this point. I think what Republicans are very concerned about is in some cases you're seeing him almost concede the presidential election. And they're worried about whether they're going to be able to hold on to the Senate and to a lesser extent the House.
Well, his language has changed. You know, in the speeches over the weekend, his language has changed not to when I win, to if I win. And that's significant, Andrea.
And Matt, wanted to ask you, too, about exit polling. I know that's been iffy in the past. I mean, I remember what happened with John Kerry, that election. Mm-hmm. But what are your thoughts on exit polls, and do you think it's, you know, how the accuracy of them?
You know, it's a great question. Exit polls took got a real bad rap in 2000 and then in 2004 again. And, you know, exit polls are designed to give people an opportunity to, you know, give scholars like me an opportunity to explain what was going through the minds of voters when they voted. They're not exactly designed to be predictors of who's winning the state on election night. But the problem is that's what the media uses them for, right? And so, and that's, you know, one of the problems we had in 2000. 2000 in Florida was such a close election, decided by 537 votes. No poll, and we still to this day have no idea who won that election in Florida. No poll is going to be able to figure that out. But yeah, I mean, if you look at kind of Trump's language, it's changed a little bit. I will say, guys, that I can't recall a presidential candidate who every step of the way has made the exact wrong step that he should have taken. I mean, I don't, you know, the campaign strategy here is, you know, you don't go after Gold Star families. If you're accused of sexual assault, you don't come out and say, you know, that they were fat and that you would never have done that because they're not good looking, right? You don't.
Well, and you also don't go to Gettysburg and spend the first 10 minutes of a speech on, I'm going to sue them because they're all liars.
Steve, I was going to get there. Absolutely. I mean, it's one thing after another. And if I'm Hillary Clinton, I'm just sitting there saying, hey, man, just keep speaking. You know, I don't have to do anything because he's not running against Franklin Roosevelt. I mean, Clinton is not a strong candidate in a lot of ways. I mean, her negatives are about 60%, just like his. But she hasn't had to do a whole heck of a lot because he's pretty much done it for her, which is, it's just astonishing to me.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens to him post-election, but let's not get too far ahead here. How big a deal is turnout?
Turnout's going to be, it's always when people like me come on the air and say, you know, Steve, the election is going to come down to turnout, right? And that's really insightful. But here's what I will say, and I think I'm in the minority. I don't see a high turnout election. And people say, how can it not be a high turnout election? We're talking about it forever. There, you know, the debates, there was so much interest in the debates. The problem is that, you know, you've two candidates that have negative at about 60%. I think you're going to see a lot of people that are going to be turned off that just aren't going to go vote. I mean, you've got the fact that you've got the first major party female presidential candidate, potentially the first president of the United States who's female, which adds some intrigue. But, you know, for the most part, I think people have been pretty worn down by the election, pretty turned off by the election. So it would not surprise me in the least if you see a low turnout election. The other thing that I really thought for a long period of time, and I'm not sure that this is going to come to fruition, but I didn't think, you know, I thought the election was going to be pretty close. It still could be. And here's why I thought it was going to be close. You have candidates that are incredibly negative. You know, their negatives are incredibly high. We're an incredibly polarized country right now. It's really very difficult to have a landslide election in a presidential election. And because of Trump's missteps over the last couple of weeks, though, it looks like he's proven me wrong on that one as of today anyway, because, you know, I saw this morning Real Clear Politics has Texas as a toss-up. I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but certainly Arizona, which several weeks ago you wouldn't have thought would have been in the...
That's,
you know,
insane. The idea that Arizona could go Democrat is crazy.
No, yeah, kidding. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at, you know, Nevada certainly is swung, North Carolina. And what this is doing is it's really hurting. If you look where most of the competitive Senate races are right now, the races that are going to determine who controls the Senate, it's Nevada, it's North Carolina, it's New Hampshire, it's Pennsylvania. Those are all battleground states, and they're all states that Trump is struggling in, and where, you know, a strong Clinton showing could really help the Democratic Senate candidate there and ultimately give them control of the Senate.
Matt, a big topic over the past 2 weeks, these ridiculous allegations of rigging and dead people voting. Does that really undermine the democratic process, or do people see past that and know that that's just election rhetoric?
Most people do, I think, see past that. But it is, I will say, it's a little disconcerting to hear a major party presidential candidate sit there and say he's not, you know, not sure he's going to accept the results of the election until, you know, he sees the outcome, essentially. Obviously, Florida in 2000 was, you know, it took 36 days to figure that out, and that was a pretty unique situation. But, you know, what I will say is, you know, there's allegations of voter fraud. Voter fraud exists, it does, but it's not widespread. And one of the advantages of our kind of archaic election system is to have it, you know, to swing a national election. through some sort of fraud would take a Herculean effort, because, you know, most of all of our voting is done at the county level, right? And that's where the county clerks and everybody, they're the ones who control essentially what is happening from a voting standpoint. And so, yeah, again, I think it's just really inappropriate and dangerous might be too strong of a word, but it bothers me as somebody who studies elections. We have problems with our electoral system. There's no doubt about that. There's areas we need to clean up. But, you know, at the same time, to sit there and question the results of an election before they even exist, I think is not very smart. And it's not, it plays well with a certain percentage of the population, but these are the people who are already voting for Trump to begin with. And that's one thing he hasn't been able to do, is he hasn't been able to expand his base. You know, he's gone in and talked about locking, you know, Secretary Clinton up at the debate, and that played well. That plays well at Trump rallies. It doesn't play well in a general election campaign.
Yeah, and just not to get Freudian here, but everything comes back to his desperate need for approval and his desperate need to have people tell him they love him, which is why he continues to step in it. Because in the end, when Donald Trump says this whole system is rigged, he tamps down his own voter turnout. In other words, people go, well, why should I vote then?
And absolutely, Steve. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and this isn't over, kids. If you believe in Trump, you better vote. If you believe in Clinton, you better vote. Bottom line is, you better vote, because
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think the election still could be a little bit closer than most people are making out to be. You know, and obviously, if I was in the Democratic campaign right now, I'm the type of guy who, if I'm up in basketball 20 points with 2 minutes left to go in the game, I still don't think it's over until there's zeros on the clock. And so there's still, you know, a lot of voting to be done and several days to go. But he's just never been able to pivot in a way where you think, well, here's the Donald Trump general election candidate right now. You know, every step of the way he's been making missteps, and it's really helped Hillary Clinton, who, you know, frankly hasn't had to run much of a campaign, whether it was a good campaign or not. She hasn't had to run much of a campaign because he's essentially, you know, so far anyway, appears to have handed her this election.
Matt Streb, where do we follow you on social media?
NIU Fac Ath Rep. So I'm the faculty athletics rep at Northern Illinois University.
All right. Appreciate your time. You're great. We'll have you back. And it's 7:55. Andre was at the game Saturday night. Sandberg was at the game Saturday night. Annette was at the game Saturday night. Oh, you weren't there?
I was not there. I was in the studio. Channel.
Okay. Yes. I got a little out of control there, Dave. Sorry. All right. So you were there Saturday night. History was made.
Yeah.
I know you were missing your dad, but it had to be great to be there.
It was absolutely unbelievable. I can't even describe the emotions, and I was crying. I mean, you're overcome with emotion seeing this and waiting your entire life and being
strangers hugging each other.
Yeah, and again, yeah, my dad, of course, was a huge fan, and I thought of him too. And everybody was hugging everybody. It was just an electric atmosphere. I know that sounds like a canned response, but just the feeling, the chills, and the excitement.
Did you stand for the last three innings?
I think we stood the whole game. I mean, because I did know I got my tickets on StubHub. I was in the 500 level, but about five or six rows back. So it was a decent, you know, but we stood pretty much the whole time. I mean, every time it was 3-2, every time there was two outs.
And every time you got an out closer to the end.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, of course, it was a great game in general. So every time there was a home run, people would stand for, you know,
a few
more minutes and go crazy.
Well, I'm glad you were there.
Me
I'm
too.
Glad you were there for
thank,
history.
Thank you. It was really, really cool to be there.
And Sandberg, you were there with Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet?
I was. And our section pretty much stood the whole time as well.
Yeah.
I, though, was not hugging people because I'm not really into hugging. But
see, you know what's funny, Mayor? It's funny you say that because everyone's doing the high fives. And at the end of the night, I thought, oh, my God, I need some Purell.
Oh, yeah. I didn't touch one person's hand. I just smile with my arms crossed.
Pat Boyle tried to hug Mary, and she didn't hug him back. Sandra didn't hug him back. And Pat had to remind him that they're married.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, you can hug me, honey. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me good.
It is 8:13. Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Good morning, buddy.
I survived.
Were you a part of the revelry?
In Los Angeles?
Yes.
There wasn't much revelry going on in Los Angeles.
So how many people are
politeness.
How many people are welcoming the Dodgers home?
With the Is there somebody shooting video of them getting off a bus somewhere? Oh, wait, they were home already.
The only people welcoming them home were their families.
The the fans there leave like in the sixth inning anyway. So by the time the game was over, there was nobody left in the stands except Cub fans there anyway. But
rough, I tell you. Kevin Powell will join us live from the road coming up. But we'll be talking a lot about it in the next couple of weeks. That'll shock you.
It was interesting being in Los Angeles while all this was happening. I've never been in an opposing city when something like this was happening. I was there Thursday night when the Cubs were playing here, and then I was there for Saturday night. I didn't go to the game. As it turns out, there appeared to have been thousands of seats that were available. I probably could have gone. But I watched it, there, and I had my Cubs hat. I took it with me, just to really kind of be a jerk and taunt people in Los Angeles with it. Most people were very good-natured about the whole thing. You know, they were like, if the Dodgers can't win, we're rooting for you guys. You know, the Cubs deserve it. The Cubs, it's time for the Cubs. I mean, people, sort of were behind
it. You haven't won since the Teddy Roosevelt administration. It seems like it's time.
That's right. Now that there's color television, now that there's television, period, maybe it's time for the Cubs to, get the pennant. Interestingly, the only really nasty remark that I had came from a White Sox fan who was mad that I was wearing my Cubs hat.
Oh, that's funny. That I could see.
That's funny.
I was going to say, the Dodger fans are pretty cool.
They were, it was all very good natured. You know, if there was like a little teasing, it was
well, if you'd run into Lasorda, it wouldn't have been good natured. Lasorda would have taken a head off.
Probably not. But yeah, that interestingly, I've gotten many, many very nice emails and texts since I mentioned this on my show yesterday from White Sox fans who are saying, we're baseball fans, so we're happy that there's a Chicago team in it to make up for the one bad experience that I had there.
Lady Gaga was on Saturday Night Live this weekend, tearing it up. We're all talking about the debate stuff that went on, and it's always funny. And I think the ratings this weekend are actually higher than they've been the previous two. So Saturday Night Live inexplicably is taking this weekend off. They need to milk this bad boy, but they're not going to do it.
Right before the election, they're taking a week off?
Yeah, they're off this week, and they're coming back the Saturday before.
Slackers.
Well, they are producing an hour and a half of television a week.
That must be
difficult. Yeah.
That's exhausting.
Is it an hour and a half? Yeah. Is it still 90 minutes? I don't even know. It's 90 minutes.
Steve can't stay up past 10:45, honestly.
Now, you know what I do? I'm like a 12-year-old. Friday and Saturday night, I stay up because it's the only two nights I can stay up. And invariably, I'm unconscious in a chair by 11 o'clock at night. But at least I tried. I tried, man. I tried.
You're wild, man.
But the reason I bring up Lady Gaga was she had Mark Ronson with her. And I don't know if you did the arrangement of the new song. Mark Ronson is Uptown Funk. Yep. He's the guy that did Uptown Funk.
Yep.
And she tore it up. She was so good. So good.
She's always so great.
So that's something else you can look at online today when you're supposed to be working.
I love the Gaga. I did not see that because, of the Cubs reverie that was going on.
My old stand-up comedy pal, Kevin Meaney, passed away the other day. We'll have to talk about that. He was only 60 years old. Herb Kent, the cool gent who Dean talked to many times, and I had the pleasure of meeting a couple of times,
is
also gone.
Such a great guy.
Bill Murray in the news. A bunch of tweeters on the Cubs, obviously. And Taylor Swift back on stage. All that coming up.
You're leaving one major thing off, too.
What's that?
I got together with Mel Gibson over the weekend.
I thought we'd start with that when we come back.
Mel Gibson, first time in 6.5 years.
Yeah.
And Dean, you survived.
Oh, yeah, they're spending the weekend in the Dells.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
822. So Dean Richards famously got yelled at by Mel Gibson under his breath, but it was screaming, Dean. It was under his breath screaming.
Anybody could be called an a-hole on the air by a two-time Oscar winner.
That's exactly right, as he walked off. Now, this
was the way that I look at it.
This is how long ago?
6.5 years ago.
The first time you and Mel, as I like to call him, Mel, got back together was a junket this weekend.
It was for his new movie that's called Hacksaw Ridge, which, by the way, is a pretty incredible movie.
It's not a review.
It's very, very Saving Private Ryan-like.
Not a review.
Not a review.
Not a review.
It stars Andrew Garfield, who was
not an actor.
Spider-Man. And
not a superhero.
Mel, my close personal friend Mel, directs the movie.
All right. So when you get together with him, is it face to face?
This time it is face to face. Yes.
Did you have butterflies?
I was a little. I wouldn't say nervous. I was wondering, you know, what was going to happen, if he would remember, you know, if he would, it was even on his radar.
I don't think he drinks every day. Did he remember?
So this is what happens. I walk in the room. He's sitting there with Andrew Garfield. They're together. And I said, I greet Andrew Garfield first, say hello.
Not a greeting? Sorry.
I said, but I extend my hand to shake hands with Mel. I say, Hi, Mel. Good to see you again. And he takes my hand, and he is staring, like, right through me, like laser beams, staring at me for a pretty long, intense time. He's got a firm handshake, Steve, that, you know, you shake hands with somebody, and then, you know, there's a certain amount of time you let go. He's not letting go. He's, like, he is shaking hands a little longer than you shake hands with.
So at that point, do you think he's trying to figure out if he knows me? He knows me, but he doesn't know if he knows me? Is that the vibe?
I don't know if, you know, because of the stare and the prolonged handshake, I'm interpreting it as, I know who you are.
Right.
But not a word spoken. And we had a very, very, very pleasant conversation, very pleasant conversation. It was very nice. We joked, we laughed, we had wine, we gave each other massages. You want to hear a little?
Sure, go ahead. Well, we don't have it?
We don't have it.
Oh, I thought we don't have it. No, we don't have any audio.
That's a shame.
Of course, the silence would be funny, too. You want to hear it? This is what happened. Nobody talked.
Nothing was brought up, though, Dean. He didn't say.
He didn't say anything.
You didn't do that thing where you go, remember how funny it was when you called me an a-hole and it was international news?
No. And I was going to make some reference to it, and I just didn't feel like it was needed or appropriate.
No, because he is not. Here's why. You brought it up initially at the time because it was timely and it was newsworthy. It
made sense, right?
You bring it up now, and it just looks like you're grinding it.
You're just looking for a fight or something.
Yeah, totally agree.
It didn't feel appropriate. I thought if the stare and the handshake was his way of acknowledging me, God bless him. I don't know if that's the case, but we had a very, very nice conversation. I believe you may have that audio now.
I believe we do as well. Roll it.
By the way, do you look at things differently as you've gotten older? And, you know, I don't know if maturity is exactly the right word, but as we have life experience, that beard is awesome. The beard, that is an awesome beard. When you walk in the room, that has a life force of its own. Does your life experience help you in telling stories?
I think it must, you know, because look at the stuff that can happen to you. I mean, it's got to inform everything you do in some way. Fortunately, with a story like Desmond, it is so basic and true that it's just pure and plain, like a neon light. It just kind of goes through you. But I think, in a way, I mean, if you look at some of the other stuff I've done, there's this same kind of theme of heroism.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
It seems very pleasant. Very pleasant. I mean, Dean, it seems like he actually enjoyed the exchange.
It was very nice. So,
any Jews in the movie?
Did you ask?
Because, you know, Mel's not a big fan of Jews. I don't know if you know that or not.
So this weekend, the Cubs clinched the pennant, and Mel Gibson and I are friends again.
Yeah, but you know what? Hell did freeze over, didn't it? Wow, how about that?
Yeah, so...
Kevin Meaney died this weekend. Kevin Meaney is one of the funniest guys that's ever done stand-up, and Kevin Meaney was only 60 years old. Do we know anything in regards to why he passed?
Family did not release the cause of death. We do not know what the cause of death, but very, very sad. He's was here at WGN many times. He actually co-hosted the Jerry Lewis Telethon with us 1 year.
I loved him as a guest. He was always funny. If you can't place him, this is the guy that always kind of did the voice of his mom.
God, they're crazy, my parents. In the winter, my mother's always telling me to put a hat on. Put your hat on. Put your hat on. Going outside without a hat. That's not right. What do you do this to your father and I for? 90% of the heat goes right through your head. So never point your head at anyone. You'll burn them severely.
He was the best, man. He was just funny. He
very,
was
very funny, funny guy. Very funny guy. Starred on the short-lived 90s comedy Uncle Buck as well. They tried to do a television version of that did not work out. But if you saw him on any of the late-night shows, and he was on all of them, he always killed. He was great.
Yeah, and here's the thing about him. Great voice as a singer and toured in a couple of big stage musicals as well. And was still doing stand-up. I loved him as a guest, as I said, because he was always funny. But a few years ago, after living his life, you know, with, in his words, a secret, he came out. He admitted he was gay, and he tried to live his life. So in the past few years, when it feels like he got to a personal point where he could feel, you know, comfortable with himself, I was hoping he'd be around forever. So I was really surprised because I didn't know he had health issues, if he did have any or what the case is, but I'll miss him.
He was a good guy. Very, 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 very nice guy. And then also this weekend, very extremely saddened by the death of Herb Kent, one of the most iconic names in Chicago radio, really got his first big start on the old WVON, which was Chicago's first all-black radio station.
Civil rights voice of the 60s, man.
Yeah, the VON, standing for Voice of the Negro. That's what it stood for. And Herb Kent was, you know, probably their most popular DJ. 70 years on the air, Steve. 70
It's unbelievable.
Years. The past 27 on
Biondi's got to be close to that, isn't he? He's got to be getting close.
I guess so. I guess yeah. They're probably about in the same, you know, they're the same genre.
You know what they call Orion Samuelson? Kid.
That's, not a lot of people can do that.
Yeah.
Call Orion Kid, but he was a tremendous on-air performer. One of the nicest guys I think I've ever met. He's been here with us on the WGN Morning News many, many times. He loved. I went to see him. I went to like a high school sock hop that he was hosting at my high school at CVS once, and he always called me CVS when he saw me. He said, "Hey, CVS."
Oh, that's funny.
He always remembered the high school and invited me. I went on his Dusty's show a couple of times. On V103, and
well, you're doing pretty well. I mean, I just knew him to shake his hand and tell him I respect him.
He was a good guy. I went to his house once, and we did a story on him when he was. I think it was when he was going into the Radio Hall of Fame. I don't remember. There was some occasion. Went to his house, saw his awards. You know, like really got an up close and personal look at you know what his life was like. I mean, imagine. You know, being somebody who wanted to be on the radio, and there was no place to go for an African-American DJ then. There were really no black radio stations when he was first starting out. Somebody once told him once, you're very talented, you know, you're a great guy, very educated, but you're not going to make it because you're a Negro. That's the exact story that he told me.
How about that?
You're not going to make it. So he... did persevere, you know, 70 years on the air. Steve, if...
Hell of a run.
If we're still here, you know, like in 50 years doing this.
I haven't been able to figure out if I came back and the clock started over. That'd be tough.
We have to take an oath that if we're still here in 50 years, you put a My Pillow over my face and I'll put a My Pillow over your face.
That's fair. That's entirely
fair. That seems reasonable.
All right, lightning round. What's your favorite celebrity tweet you saw about the Cubs?
I love a good Bob Newhart tweet. He's in Vermont visiting his grandchildren.
And Larry, Darryl, and Daryl.
He forgot to bring his W flag that he always holds up in tweets at his home. So they took looks like a pillowcase, and they wrote a big W on it with him and his grandchildren, and he's holding it up with his grandkids. Super, super sweet.
Bill Murray got the Mark Twain Award, which is a big deal. Made a nice speech, I thought.
That's going to be on PBS end of the week, so we'll be able to see that. He took a moment out of his Cubs celebrating to go to Washington, D.C. for that.
And Taylor Swift did her first concert in a year, will?
Thank God. No, she has. She did. She did. It was.
I should know that as a Swiftie.
It was in Austin, Texas, and one of the songs that she sang, Steve, a Calvin Harris song.
Oh, is that a little message back to her old boyfriend?
I don't know. Now that she's done with the Hiddleston, maybe sending a little message back to the Seaman.
I'm 55. Dean's a year or two older than I am. Can you imagine if the two of us were actually worried about this? Huh? Really? Really? We're worried about important stuff.
You worried about important stuff like wee-wee.
Yeah, like French bicycle thieves.
Yes.
All I know is I'm going to spend the next weekend with a B&B with Mel Gibson.
You run your fingers through his beard.
You know, like those, I don't know if it's Cialis or Viagra commercials where you see the two people in the bathtub.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah, yeah.
That's going to be us.
Yeah. In this case,
the medicine has nothing to do with it. I just want to do that bath.
Separate bathtubs, a very good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. See you later.
3, 2, 1. The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
.843 Breakfast with a Blackhawk, always sponsored by MB Financial Bank. Steve Cochran Show, big win for the Hawks on Saturday night.
Big comeback win.
Yeah, down 4-2 late.
3 minutes to go in the third.
Get it to overtime and then win it in a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive. Scott Darling, one of our favorite guys from our favorite team, your Chicago Blackhawks. Good morning to you, pal.
Good morning.
How have you been?
I've been good. Yeah. How are you guys?
Good talking to you.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Well, you guys, listen, you guys got off to a little bit of a rough start, but I said this the other day to Troy. I said, in a month, you're going to love the chemistry of this team, but I think in the last 5 minutes of that game Saturday night, I saw some of that really important veteran leadership and young guy chemistry coming together right there.
Yeah, it was definitely exciting. Obviously, nobody was happier than me to see those pucks go in. It was a big comeback win for us.
Yeah. How you feeling? You physically good?
Yeah, feeling good. It's nice to have a couple back-to-backs early so I can get in there and
sure.
Get a couple games under my belt right away.
And do you this is important for people to know. Scott Darling is a grown man, rather tall grown man too, by the way. The stretching that Scott Darling does, that Corey Crawford does, that an NHL goalie does, would make a Russian gymnast proud. Do you do stretching on off days?
Sometimes. I took it easy yesterday, but, you know, it's a pretty big part of our routine, and we got to do it to make sure we're not getting injured.
You can stretch in ways that, it's like Cirque du Soleil stuff. I mean, basically, I don't know if you've seen this trick, but if you're ever at the Hawks and he's got a little extra time, Scott Darling can turn himself into a pretzel. I mean, literally a pretzel.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Only when I have to. I try not to.
Dave, say hi to Scott.
Hey, Scott. Good morning. How do you sense the new guys are meshing here? Because there's always going to be an adjustment period, especially with so much youth on this team. And you went through it yourself a couple of years ago. Do you sense that things are coming together in terms of kind of developing that chemistry with a lot of new faces on the team?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you said, I went through it myself. It's a pretty stressful situation. It's pretty overwhelming to, you know, achieve your dream of making it to the NHL. And it's definitely, there could definitely be some nerves right away. And these guys have been doing a great job adjusting. And our veteran leaders have been doing a great job of kind of bringing these guys in and you know, showing them the ropes. So it's been fun to see them. You know, really contribute and put some pucks in the net, and, you know, a couple of them are playing some great defense, too.
We want to talk about another event, too, in the midst of all of this. Hawks have a couple of nights off, and on Thursday night, I think it's this Thursday, isn't it? Is it this? When is Hockey Fights Cancer Night? I don't have that information in front of me.
For some reason, I thought it was tonight.
I thought it was tonight.
It might not be.
Oh, it is tonight.
Yeah, I thought it was tonight.
Oh, I thought it was Thursday. I apologize. Yeah. So it is tonight.
It's tonight.
And explain why the fight of cancer means so much to you and your family.
Well, it's always been a huge thing for me personally, going through breast cancer with my mother twice, but she's doing great now. And the NHL does a great job, the Blackhawks especially do a great job of, you know, raising money for a great cause. And we'll be sporting, like I said, I think it's tonight. So we'll be sporting the pink jerseys.
It is tonight. We just checked. It is tonight.
Okay, good. And so we auction those off, and they raise a lot of money for a great cause.
So if you go to the app or you go to the Blackhawks website, go to NHL.com. You can just follow the links there and anywhere. And your mom's doing great now, right?
Yeah, she's
doing great. She's in remission, and she's a happy Blackhawks fan.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't she be? Her kid's doing pretty darn well. Dave, one more for Scott?
Well, I have to ask Scott, because if you look at Scott's Twitter feed, it's @sdarling_33. An awful lot about the National League champion Chicago Cubs. How pumped are you, Scott, for the Cubs in the World Series?
Oh, I'm so excited. You know, I've been a Cubs fan my whole life, even though people give me grief because I grew up on the south side of the city, south suburbs. But my parents are from Palatine, so they were Cubs fans. I was born into it. I was a Cubs fan since day one. It's been great to watch. The team's so much fun to watch. Been able to make it out to a couple games, and the way the schedule is working out, I think we'll be able to get to game four, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Scott, I'm from South Suburbs as well, Orland Park. I know you're from Lamont. Have you been watching your football team? You had the player who ran for 150 yards last week in the game, and I think they were 7-0. You follow them still or no?
Yeah, they've been. Yeah. I'm not religiously, but I know they've been doing great. Actually bumped into the Lamont football coach at the Cubs game the other day. So it's great. They've always had a great football program. A couple guys from my age group, you know, made it to the NHL, and NFL. So it just goes to show that they're doing something right there.
I want to make sure we have all the details for tonight. Producer Sandberg, do we have it right for tonight?
It is tonight, and they're going to be wearing purple. That's the Hockey Fights Cancer color.
Oh, they're not pink.
No, and it Doc Most, as you know.
I'm colorblind.
No, so that's okay.
He can see black pucks coming at his head, but he can't see anything else.
I don't know if you guys noticed Doc Most, when he came to give us our flu shots earlier today, he was wearing the Vineyard Vines Hockey Fights Cancer purple tie from last year. Yeah.
Oh, good. No, I did not see that. Yeah. All right, so NHL.com, Blackhawks.com, Blackhawks app.
And any hashtag hockey fights cancer.
Okay, good to know. As always on MB Breakfast with the Blackhawks, sponsored by MB Financial Bank, there's a question. Here's the question, because you know, Scott, you know this as well as anybody. You gotta take risks in life to succeed. It doesn't just happen. So Amanda, I want to see if I can get the last name right, Slobodecki says, what's the biggest risk you've taken so far in your life to get where you are?
Biggest risk. I don't know. I mean, I kind of put all my eggs in one basket when I was about 22. You know, I had some options. My hockey career wasn't looking too promising. People in my life had, you know, kind of been like, well, you know, you could go back to school and finish college. And so I'd say the biggest risk for me was just sticking it out, and you know, when you're playing in the Southern Pro League, making $200 a week, it's not the easiest life. You work a regular job all summer long just to get by so you can get ready for next hockey season, and you know, that continued on for a few years before I kind of caught my brakes and really started climbing up the ladder. So I'd have to say that was the biggest risk I took, but I'm still chipping away at the college degree, slowly but surely, online.
Well, good for you, man.
Yeah, I'd say that was the biggest risk.
Yeah, and the lesson there is don't quit. If you really have it in your heart, if it's one of the first things you think about when you wake up in the morning and maybe the last thing you think about at night, it matters to you, and you got to go chase it until you find out it is over.
Yeah, and luckily, very fortunate, it's worked out so far.
Yep, no doubt about it. Love having you on this team, I can tell you that. Scott Darling from your Chicago Blackhawks. Pardon me, Hockey Fights Cancer Night tonight. The Hawks in three games in 4 days, and I think it's Calgary tonight, right?
Calgary tonight.
Yeah.
Yes.
So go get another win, Scott. You guys are on a roll. Let's not stop now.
All right, that's the plan.
All right, talk to you later.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Darling. That was a deep part of our interview there at the end. Get another win, that's the plan.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Live from the highway. Kevin's on the way to Cleveland. Where are you right now?
Oh, we're about 2 hours from Cleveland, I believe, approaching Toledo.
You going to stop and get a Mud Hen's hat?
Absolutely. That's the first stop on our trip. Can't miss that opportunity.
Man. Toledo Mud Hens logo is cool.
It is.
I have some texts here from people. I asked the question, Kev, is the World Series enough without winning it? In other words, we got there. I hope they win, but if they don't win, it's okay. Here's a few. 217, I'm a diehard White Sox fan. I'm beyond happy for the Cubs. That's nice. 630, is a fan of Banks, Santo, and Williams. Winning one or more World Series is realistic present and future. Also nice. 847, World Series is not enough. But if this is all we get, I'll settle. I just don't want to settle. 309, not winning the World Series would be a disappointment. 630, all or nothing, Cubs in five. 708, it's enough. Anytime your team's played in October, it's fabulous. 815, I believe wholeheartedly the Cubs will never win the World Series. I think I will wholeheartedly believe after the Cubs will never win the World Series. If this team can't do it, I don't believe any future team can.
I agree with that, I think.
Important distinction, rereading
yeah.
that.
Yep.
This season can never be a disappointment. It's the greatest baseball season ever, and it don't mean a thing if you ain't got that ring. But Kev, here's my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to the World Series is great, but it's like the phone number from the hot chick at the bar. It looks great to your friends, but you really haven't accomplished anything yet, sport.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, to me, not to be too harsh, but the season's a failure if they don't win the World Series.
I agree.
The team would agree with it. Look, what's their slogan all year? Embrace the target. That's a they gave themselves that little motto because going into spring training, this was the ultimate goal, to win the World Series. I understand that people are excited and happy, as they should be. It's obviously an incredible moment for Chicago sports and for the Cubs and Cubs fans, but this is a different Cubs team. You can't compare it to the past. Like, oh, well, we haven't done it in so-and-so years, so this is cool. Yeah, we're here. No, this is the 2016 Cubs. They're their own team. They have the most talents of any team in all of baseball. They have the best pitching staff. They have the best hitters. They're phenomenal all around. If they don't win the World Series, the season's a failure, no question.
All right, lightning round, because we're going to talk to Kevin a lot this week, and we're late, but you first, Dave.
Well, I think they will win the World Series, but if they don't win the World Series, I don't think you toss aside everything they've accomplished to this point.
Flush it.
No, you don't. I don't think you do.
I don't think you toss it. It's going to be appreciated.
Well, you just said it's a complete failure. It's not a complete failure if they don't win.
I mean, they're in the business to win games.
They are in the business, and they've won 110. That's a lot of wins.
Man, if they win the World Series, it's over. I say we take the franchise apart.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Well, looking back, you can look it back. Okay, Chris, you appreciate what they've done. Yeah, Chris Bryant had a phenomenal season. You may have two Cy Young candidates on the team. That's all great. That'll all be remembered. But, I mean, come on. This team is, like, built perfectly, and it's perfectly
got to get it done
to win a World Series.
You got to get it done.
Got
to get it done. Got
to
win this year.
Kevin, have you bought goggles yet? Because you've been through two champagne celebrations now, hopefully a third. Do you have your goggles?
I do not have goggles.
All right, we need
but
to get
the
you
players talk about it's a good burn, and I got some champagne in my eyes the other night. Not too bad, but they saw me filming and taking photos, and I think it was Chris Coughlin decided to spray me with an entire bottle of champagne.
I think you got to train early, so when you get to the hotel, get a cheap bottle of champagne from whatever the Ohio equivalent of Binnie's is and spray it in your face.
Kevin, who was in the Speedos? I couldn't tell who was bouncing around in their bathing suits.
I believe
suits.
That was the bullpen catcher, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of started, people were like, who is that guy?
Started to he get a little really weird.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. I'm just wondering who it was.
No, it started to get, I got to be honest, it started to get a little weird.
Couldn't quite
got
tell.
Got a little weird. A little weird. A little bit.
He got a little close to me. I started moving away casually. I didn't want to get
weird.
Too close.
A little weird. That's all. All right. Early prediction from you, Cubs, and how many?
Cubs in five.
I've not made my prediction yet, have I? Oh, yes, I did earlier. Cubs in three. Cubs are so good, they're going to win it in three.
Right.
All right, focus on the road. We'll talk many times this week, obviously. That's Kevin Powell, baseball genius. And thank you, Kev.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, Adam Hall.
Hi. Can you give us any insight into the plan for Thursday?
Not really.
What can you tell us about Barrett Jones, and is he ready if he needs to be?
Ready for what?
Adam Oak, sponsored by who, Dave?
CJ Wilson Mazda.
You know, Adam, I was thinking about you this weekend because Tiger Woods was doing an interview with Charlie Rose, and he's running around talking to other people. And the Bears clearly have an image problem right now because they're, in the words of Donald Trump, huge losers. But Tiger Woods, actually, on the Charlie Rose thing this weekend, Charlie Rose asked him his biggest regret in life. What do you think Tiger Woods' biggest regret in life would be, based on what we know about Tiger?
All the women.
You would think, wouldn't you?
I would
That's
think.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. Biggest regret in life, not staying another year at Stanford.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. So the cluelessness of that makes me think of the Bears game plan. Let's go to the Bears game plan. Almost pulled a muscle tying those two things together.
Yeah.
All right, so the Bears on Thursday night, because I don't remember if we talked about it. I may have blocked it from my mind. But the Bears lose Hoyer for how long?
Probably the season. He had surgery yesterday to repair the bone in his arm that broke the other day. And if they put him on IR, which they're probably going to have to do, he's going to miss 8 weeks. We're already at week eight, so he would be eligible to come back for the last two games. At that point, what's the point?
Would they get him back for the playoffs?
Yes. If they miraculously came back and won every single game the rest of the year and made the playoffs.
That's the funniest thing I've heard all morning. What's the Jay Cutler status? Is he still on the team?
Jay Cutler is still on the team, as much as every national outlet out there seems to make it seem like he's just gone. Like the Bears are just done with him for some reason. I think the plan was always to get him back after the bye week. This probably speeds things up. If you look at the list of quarterbacks that are available right now to sign, Johnny Manziel is towards the list. So that's why you don't sign anybody. I mean, come on.
What did he break? Is the thumb on his throwing hand?
It's the ligaments in his thumb that connect the thumb and your pointy finger.
Based on how bad this team is, couldn't we have him amputate it and put a better one on at this point? Some sort of
that would have been
thumb replacement surgery.
Yeah, I mean, we got Northwestern here. I mean, some of the great minds in medicine. All right, so we're terrible, and there's no end in sight.
Pretty much. Back to you. Can I give you a couple positives from?
Yes,
from
I'd love a couple positives. Like
a long time ago, and I know a lot of people that didn't even watch the game, and I don't blame them because the Cubs were playing. Leonard Floyd had actually a really good game. That's your first round.
He was the offensive star of the game.
He was. He scored. Yes. He scored the majority of the points. Yeah. This is a real stat, Steve. Leonard Floyd has more touchdowns than Kevin White.
Yeah.
So far.
That's so wrong.
Because there were more positives. I saw more pink, and the Packers, I thought, looked like they were in their underwear in the all whites.
Yeah, Packers, it wasn't good. Wasn't good. Wasn't
I'm sure.
But that's not
I'm
a positive. Stretching. That means the Packers beat the Bears in their underwear.
You know what? Right, you're not wrong about that either.
Sorry, Hog.
All right, so give me another positive. The kicker didn't suck.
The kicker was good.
No. The punter didn't have his leg fall off because he got a lot of work.
The punter, he's probably still sore, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the weekend off, so hopefully he's back. Mm. All the Bears players spent their weekend at the Cubs game.
Well, that's good. They don't need extra workouts, or they don't need to focus at all. They should definitely be out celebrating.
They should just get the week off to watch the World Series, I think.
I suppose watching a winner would be a good thing for the Bears.
Yeah, but, we had those conversations when John Fox got here because the Blackhawks were winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it didn't help. Yeah, it didn't help.
Yeah, we want to get all that going here. So far.
Go 2017.
Do we
like the GM? Do we still believe in the GM?
Because
we did believe in the GM. When the GM came here, we believed in him. Do we still believe in him?
I actually, if we're going to talk positives, I think there have been some positives. I mean, this guy it looks like he's made a really good draft pick at nose tackle with Eddie Goldman. Unfortunately, that guy's been out hurt, but he actually does look like a really good player. Cody Whitehair, your second round pick this year, looks like he's really good. Like I said, Leonard Floyd came around. That was a huge development, actually, on Thursday night, as ugly as that game was. To have your first round number 9 overall pick play well and actually show that he can play at this level was an enormous development for the Bears going forward. Kevin White was making strides before he got hurt. The common theme here, though, is everybody's getting hurt, and they got to figure that out. It's football, and people are going to get hurt, but this has kind of been insane, and they got to figure something has to happen in the offseason, whether it's the training staff, whether it's the way they're going about this, but you can do a better job here, I think, to get guys on the field more.
Is this coach the right coach for this team? I mean, what are we in, year three?
We're in year two, and I think it's
he's only
obvious.
Been here 2 years?
Yeah.
Second year.
Wow, feels longer.
Here's a bigger picture conversation.
Are you sure?
No, it feels. Trust me, I talk to the guy every day.
Okay. Is he the right guy?
It's a good question. I mean, he usually in his last two stops, he has turned things around by year two. That is obviously not happening here. But I think we're also learning that what John Fox had to work with here in Chicago was a lot different than what he had in Carolina, and certainly what he had in Denver when they were able to go out and sign Peyton Manning and be good all of a sudden in year two. So it's going to take a little bit longer. And what I wonder is if this is more like a 4-year plan or a 5-year plan, will John Fox still be around at that point? Now, he did sign a 5-year contract, so the contract tells you he would. But he's also 63 years old, and you know, guys make personal decisions and change their minds. So it would not surprise me if by the time the Bears are ready to win, maybe they have a different coach. But I don't think it's because they fired the guy. I don't think that's going to be the case.
I'm just sad. Just think
about the Cubs.
It's not good. Cubs and the Blackhawks, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bulls start in a couple of days. The Bulls going to be any good, Dave?
I think they'll be
Cubs and the Blackhawks.
Bulls are going to be interesting to watch. Bulls are going to be interesting to watch, I think. Adam, how much do you think it'll help the Bears that they're playing, what, one game in something like 23 days here, the way the schedule laid out for them? I mean,
yeah. Well, look, and Kyle Long had an arm injury in that game the other mm-hmm. day. He's been playing through a lot. Tracy Porter's been playing through a lot. So, yeah, that's got to help. I mean, could they get Eddie Goldman back, their nose tackle, Jeremy Langford back, the running back? Possibly. Those are guys who have been out for a while that could return. You probably want to get your rookie corner, DeAndre Hall, back at some point. So maybe this allows them to heal up a little bit. Unfortunately, though, you're playing the Vikings on Monday Night Football. Now, they didn't look too good in Philadelphia but still. Come on, the Vikings are a lot better than the Bears, so... you still got to play that game. You can't just have a double bye.
Is it they lobby the league for a second bye week?
The league might give it to them. You think they want to put the Bears on Monday Night Football again?
I'm looking at the Bears website right now, and I'm trying to see if there's any, you know, hype, positive news on the website. And really, the only thing on here, and we've already talked about it, is Floyd playbook. Floyd brings the rush. Literally, the second item on here is Long Opens Playground. I don't know if that's like a charity thing Kyle Long's doing or whatever.
Probably.
So the Bears know that there's... What if we replace the Bears with actual Bears? Actual growling Bears from the woods. I mean, that would help defensively.
Definitely defensively. Yeah. I don't know how good they'd be with the football.
They'd have more sacks, probably.
Yeah. I think...
A lot of probably personal fouls, though, and roughing... penalties they might
gnawing play. Chewing bring that up to Coach Fox next time you talk to him and tell him it's my idea.
Those aren't penalties, by the way, Steve.
Both
gnawing and chewing, it's allowed.
Yeah, until they write that rule, right? Adam, I just thank you for the work you're doing, and I'm more thankful that I'm not doing it. And where do we find your writings and your musings and your headache?
That would be at wgnradio.com/bears.
Well, you're doing a great job, dude. You really are.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank goodness you got Northwestern to cover.
That's right. Hey, Cats are looking great.
Heading to the Horseshoe on Saturday.
They're playing Horseshoes?
They're heading to... No, they're heading to the Horseshoe.
What's the Horseshoe?
That's Ohio Stadium, Columbus.
The casino?
Okay, well, you asked.
I thought it was the casino.
All right, thanks, buddy.
All right, see you guys.
That's Adam Oak, 923. And Ohio State lost, so... You know.
Ohio State lost.
How about two in a row?
It'd be a first for them. It'd be a very tough game.
Where's your faith?
Oh, I have faith. I have plenty of faith. I'm just...
So you're predicting a Northwestern win over Ohio State?
I haven't made my prediction yet, Steve. I'm going to be calling the game, so...
That's true.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
9:45, Dave, you coached your kids. When I was coaching... buddy of mine for years, mm-hmm. Bob Pierce and I were coaching baseball, you know, you see the kids on a team and you think, well, a few of them are going to turn into criminals. Mm-hmm. Some of them will turn into upstanding citizens. But I didn't see anybody on the team where I thought, Hollywood mogul. Turns out I was wrong.
Really?
Joining me now in studio, a couple of moguls, present and future. Let me start with you, Sean. Sean Pierce is here. Sean, I've known you since you were about, what, 5 or 6 years old?
It's been a while.
Well, let me turn that on. 5 or 6 years old. And you now are a movie maker. You're a filmmaker.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Well, you are. You're a filmmaker. I know modesty is a thing, but you're a filmmaker. You're a filmmaker along with your friend Zach here. And Zach, what an idiot I am. Zach's a filmmaker as well. Zach just informed me that he was the videographer of my son's wedding.
Isn't that funny? But the funnier comment is...
I had to have talked to you, didn't I?
Well, it's probably a good thing you don't remember, because that means I was doing good at my job.
No, I apologize, Zach. I'm not that big a jerk.
It was funny when he said, were you there?
Yeah, it turns out I was. And then we're standing by. Kevin Kline will join us in just a second, but he's talent. So, you know, he's probably, somewhere trying to sign an endorsement deal. Yes. All right. So, Sean, tell me about the movie.
The movie is called Meathead Goes Hog Wild. It's a satire taking place here in Chicago. It's kind of about a guy who works at a butcher shop, gets fired, steals all the meat, and then gets racked with guilt. So he tries to kind of make himself feel better by giving it out to people on the South Side. And it doesn't go as well as he hopes. So
and there's an arc to the characters here, and
at least I hope there is. I think there is. It's a kind of a character study on the main character played by Kevin Kline.
Yeah, who you'll hear from in just a second. But before we do that, there was a point when you guys were shooting out in Naperville.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I drove by the set at one point. Minding my own business, I wasn't hurting anybody, and there was a monkey.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got a chimpanzee.
Did the monkey make the movie?
The monkey's in the movie.
It was probably the most expensive scene.
It was the most expensive scene in the movie, renting a chimpanzee.
For people listening, how do you rent a chimpanzee?
It's a complicated process in which you go on to google.com and you Google search chimpanzee rental.
I like how we threw I like how we threw in .com.
Yeah. www.google.
I don't know if Steve understands Google.
Yeah. And you find the cheapest one.
Right.
Who turns out to be a chimpanzee wrangler / Elvis impersonator. Uh-huh. And he came in Elvis costume because he had a show afterwards. So
the chimp had an Elvis costume?
The owner, the wrangler.
Oh, the wrangler
is the
Elvis
impersonator.
He's not just
a chimp wrangler. Yeah, he's... So he was dressed as Elvis.
And was the chimp asthmatic or something? I mean, was there a reason the chimp was cheap?
It was older, so we were informed it couldn't be within 10 feet of a child because it could rip its face off.
Which would really be a problem.
So setting it in a public park was bad because we had a group of children all like kind of swarming around. And then we're like, careful, kids. It does rip faces.
These are all things as young directors that you learn on how to deal with dangerous animals who will rip children's faces off.
Yeah.
All right. Now, here's the good news before we get to superstar Kevin Kline. This movie this week is available where?
It comes out tomorrow, actually. You can pre-order the Blu-ray on BrinkVision.com, or it'll be available on Amazon, Best Buy, and then all the good streaming sites, Amazon Prime, Google Play.
But the only place to get that Blu-ray is BrinkVision.
Brink, yeah. B-R-I-N-K?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you enjoy hearing our voices, you can listen to a very informative commentary with the three of us where we...
All right, now you've already finished your second movie.
Yeah,
in the editing process.
Oh, I see. So, So the buzz you got from the first movie, going around to festivals and things. I'm not kidding. Yeah. These guys are going to film festivals.
I know, that's cool.
They look like guys who the security would throw out of the Tribune Tower. They're going around to film festivals.
Believe it or not, we're actually employed as well. We're real jobs.
Yeah. I want to ask them about film festivals too, because I've wanted to go to both Fantasia and Sundance and everything. I never have, but you see all the pictures and the people. Is it like it looks in the pictures with all the celebrities and there's photo booths set up and. Comps everywhere.
Kevin Bacon was there, but he was about 1,000 yards away from anyone that could touch him. So
6 degrees
but
away.
Yeah, 6 degrees away from Kevin Bacon. But yeah, it was a great time. Fantasia was where we premiered the film.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was in Montreal?
Montreal, yeah. It was great. Our families came out to support us, and it involved a lot of... The great thing about the festival was every day after the festival, everyone just goes out as a group and drinks till about 4 a.m. So it's
at the same bar every night. So you're hanging out with the same group.
So you see the same people all the time.
Yeah, and you're all watching each other's movies, and it's really nice.
That's what it should be, right?
Yeah.
We went to quite a few festivals, but I'd say that the one that had that kind of weeks long experience that we liked the most was Fantasia.
So here's the thing: these guys all grew up together. And at what point, Sean, did you think you wanted to make movies? Were you in college?
I would say I liked making movies. I made movies with Zach and Kevin in high school.
Yeah.
But Zach and Kevin went to film school, and I went to regular school. Because I think I was always like, is this a real job? But
I'm sure your parents had nothing to do with the nudging in that direction.
You know, I'll give my parents credit. They're pretty supportive. And
yes, they are.
I guarantee they're listening. So they are very supportive.
Yes.
And, and I'll say that they kind of always encouraged me. So it wasn't them. It was more of a self-imposed. But then I eventually gave in, went to DePaul, and then started making movies again with Zach and Kevin.
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier. If you wake up in the morning and it's one of the first things you think about, I've got to do this, and it's one of the last things you think about at night, I've got to do this, it's in your blood. You know, that's what you ought to be doing with your
life. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you may be broke or you may be megastars, but either way, it's in your blood, and you got to chase it as far as you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kevin Kline could not be a nicer guy. And when Kevin was on this basketball or baseball team, depending on what we were coaching, I believe in about 3 years of coaching him, I heard him say 4 words. So I don't know if this is like I have not seen the film yet. So I don't know if this is like a Clint Eastwood script where he doesn't say a whole lot, or is Kevin talking more these days?
He's got
Is he here? Can he?
He can hear all of this. Yes. Does he speak in the film?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got lines?
Oh, he's got quite a few.
All right. Maybe it was me then. Kevin, how are you, buddy?
Good. How's it going?
Nice to talk to you, Kevin. Am I lying? When we coached you, you didn't say much, did you?
That might have been the case. I think it was probably just because I was definitely the worst player on the team.
That's not true.
To chime in about basketball.
Not true at all.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It wasn't necessarily my comfort zone, so that might have just been not the scenario I was talking in, but. In the movie, I definitely have some lines, but I think there's more just vocalizations and kind of angry, weird grunts and screams than actual dialogue.
Well, it's that tired old tale of free meat being handed out on the South Side. Again, it's Sean Pierce, Zach Harris, and Kevin Kline. Kevin's the star of the movie. Sean, how is he the star? How is he the star? What's the character's name?
The character
does not have a name.
Yeah, does not have a name. He is the title character without a name.
Okay.
And
just Meathead. Just refer to him
Meathead.
As Meathead.
Yeah. Meathead.
It's kind of like in Halloween, how Michael Myers is just kind of referred to as an essence. He just kind of doesn't have a name.
Yeah.
And how would you two assess his talent as an actor? Kevin, I'm talking about now. You two with Kevin listening. Talk about him in front of him.
I think he's great. I would say if he wasn't listening. That's the nicest part about it is that I think...
you found out your friend could act.
Yeah, the movie's anchored by, I think, a really good performance. So I'm a little biased, but I think that's the thing I'm probably most proud of is that it stands on its own as a character study.
Will this movie make sense to anyone over the age of 25?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it will.
I hope so.
When we played in San Francisco, the guy that introduced the film and kind of gave the Q&A, he was blown away. We were as young as we were. He's like, I thought this was made by someone in their 40s. So we took that as high praise.
Yeah, that's great.
If you were to win an Oscar, hypothetically speaking, would you go with a note card, a piece of paper, or just speak off the cuff?
And how long will it take for you to thank me in your Oscar speech?
You have brought this up to me before, so I think I have to at this point. This is not the
first. You're locked in that speech
Mom,
now.
Mom, Dad, God,
trying to confirm it on the air. So in that billion to one shot that we win an Oscar for Meathead Goes Hog Wild out on demand tomorrow. I would thank you first.
Yeah.
Oh, well done by you. It's not your first plug. Kevin, let me give you the chance. How would you rate those two as directors of your work?
Oh, I think wonderfully. That was one of the things I was most worried about was like, how can I act and direct in the same thing at once? I was really worried about the acting side, but like, thankfully, it was co-directing with Zach and Sean, and they were both able to.
How do you guys
help me out a lot?
How do you have three people direct? I don't understand that.
Well, when there's a crew of four people, it's basically just
shout out to Scott Palmer, yeah, our sound man.
I mean, every now and then we'd have other people helping out, you know. But for the most part, it was a very small crew. So, and we spent a lot of time sitting in the same room writing together. So we were all pretty much on the same page visually and with the story.
Yeah, we got most of the arguments out of the way writing the script that we all kind of knew when directing what the vision was. So it's more just kind of three people on the same page. You know,
I think
it's like amazing.
Four women in a lot of ways, would have netted the same results.
What'd you say, Kevin?
I was going to say, in a lot of ways, a lot of the work in directing comes in the pre-production. So once we were able to kind of hash out the vision ahead of time, it was pretty smooth. It's just a matter of getting everything to happen when you're when you're on set. It's more of the producing was what we struggled with, was just making sure we could get everybody to show up at the right time.
I got to tell you something.
Get all the moving parts together.
You guys, I'm proud of you guys because you pat yourselves on the back. Getting it made is one thing. That's a small miracle. But then getting interest at a film festival as big as what goes on in Montreal, and then having people who have done a lot more of this than you guys have talk about how they liked it and talk about it, not just in a Hollywood way. And now you got a second one you're about to do. I hate to break it to you guys, but you're in show business.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I guess so.
But congratulations, man.
Thank you very much. Really
appreciate
it.
Thanks very much. Yeah,
very proud.
In show business, also in food business, I gotta go make food at a restaurant. Right.
Kevin's gotta go to work. We have to.
Kevin's gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go to work as well.
All right, Kevin. Great talking to you, bud. Thanks for being on. Get the plug in one more time, Sean.
Sure. Zach, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, well, Meathead Goes Hog Wild is available on demand tomorrow. You can check it out on Amazon Prime. We also got the DVD available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Best Buy, and the Blu-ray at BrinkVision.
Nicely done, gents. And by the way, your grandfather, Billy Pierce, would be proud.
Oh, that means the world. Thanks.
Yeah.